really uncertain time for everyone, and it can be tough at times, even just to keep busy and things like that. You'd be getting a little bit bored, but it has to be done. And I guess once you kind of get into a bit of a routine and used to it, it's not too bad. And I suppose from my point of view, I'm coming back from Australia, so it was kind of a breath of fresh air nearly to get that little break and transition into life back at home again. I suppose last year, when I came back, I kind of got hurried straight back into Gaelic and working and everything. So it's kind of nice to have that little bit of a break at the moment. And I'm just kind of getting on top of my physio stuff, doing a little bit of study, and then trying to kind of maintain my fitness, if anything, and picking up the round ball again. So it's kind of nice in a way, but obviously it can be tough as well at times.
What I presume you were very lucky and probably very happy to get home just before the COVID situation really kicked off. Like flights were getting grounded in Australia probably not that long after you got home.
Yeah, so was lucky enough. I know the whole competition was up in the air the week that I did end up traveling home. So it was that Wednesday or Thursday night that they decided to go to final series. And my team, Western Bulldogs, hadn't qualified for quarterfinals. So my club was quick enough to respond to that and kind of realize that things are progressing quite quickly as well in Ireland. So I think it was important that they did kind of send us home when they could. So it was that Saturday evening I headed home with Katie Heron as well from my club, and then a couple of other Irish girls that also weren't playing at the weekend. So yeah, we literally got out that Saturday evening and landed on the Sunday morning here in Ireland, and looked at my phone and the AFLW competition had been completely stopped. So I think that was when the bigger rush for the other girls that were still out there decided to kind of get the nearest flights. But I know a couple of them, like Orla that I play with Tip, had a few cancellations and things like that. So I think, yeah, I had an easy enough process just getting on the flight on the Saturday, whereas a few of the other girls were a bit more difficult finding a flight to get back to Ireland on.
One of the few times you're probably thankful your team doesn't reach the playoffs then, because I think it was a lot more kind of confusing for those who were there the week of St. Patrick's week and it was up in the air. They weren't sure whether to come home. At least, I guess, your decision was made a bit easier by the circumstance of you not getting ready to play playoffs.
Yeah, the decision was obviously totally taken out of my hands when my team didn't qualify. And obviously, it's really disappointing. At the start of the year, our goal was to hopefully reach the quarterfinals at least and push on to hopefully win a premiership. But things didn't work out for us. But in the end, it made the process of coming home a lot easier. I guess, like, I live with Aileen Gilroy, and her club, North Melbourne, were playing that weekend. And it was tough to leave her on that Saturday. She was left in the house by herself and had to get ready for a semi-final or a quarter-final, sorry, that day. So you know, like, that's playing in the back of her mind as well, knowing that a lot of the girls that she was close with at the time are going home, and she had to prepare for a game. But I guess it worked out in her favor then as well, that the competition was just brought to a close, and it kind of just made things a lot easier for everyone, because it could have got more difficult as the weeks went on with Irish girls being involved and what they would do. So I think just the safety, obviously, of everyone in Australia, the men's and women's competition was put to a close at that time, and the men's is still on a break, but hopefully that will be back up running soon.
Yeah, because I was chatting to Sarah Rowe a few weeks ago, and she was saying her team were getting ready for their conference semi-final that week. And she was saying a lot seemed to have changed in a very short period of time. There was the meeting, particularly about the men's season getting underway behind closed doors. It seemed that there was a real push to try and get the two seasons finished out. The women's season had effectively been cut down because of the way that they streamlined the playoffs as well. And then, kind of in a very short period of time, maybe a couple of days, it became very clear that the seasons couldn't be completed. Did you kind of get that impression looking on as well that it seemed inevitable maybe by the middle of that week that things were going to fall?
I guess just in Australia in general, we're all a little bit naive to, I suppose, the seriousness of it. I think it was only from chatting to my parents and everything at home, and how things had started to progress in Ireland, that you realise, like, the schools and everything were shut and sport was brought to a pause as well, that potentially that could happen in Australia as well. So I think us Irish girls had a different perspective on it, whereas the Australian girls were in talks with, like, the AFLPA and AFL to try come to negotiations about finishing the season. But in the back of our heads, I guess, we kind of thought this mightn't even come to fruition at all. The fact that in Ireland, things had kind of taken a different turn altogether. So I think we had a little bit of an inkling of what could come down the line. But obviously, The AFL is an industry as well, and they would like to keep the games and everything going. So they tried their best, but at the same time, the safety and everything was paramount for everyone. So it came to a pause. But I think things are going quite well in Australia. Well, as well as they can, I suppose. Not that it's a great situation at all, but the numbers and everything are quite low. So I think they've kind of progressed out of lockdown a little bit, and they're looking for the men's season to kind of start kicking off again soon. Obviously, they have to break down a few barriers to get it started and make sure that it is safe. But I think that they're kind of looking towards getting football back, which is great, even just for spectators and everything, to for people to have something to watch, I suppose, keep them occupied, and also for the players, because that's what you want to be doing, like out in the thick of it, playing a game, I suppose.
I was watching Carlton against Richmond, which was kicking off the men's season at the MCG, and it was just weird. You see the players coming out, all of the usual kind of pomp and circumstances gone because of the social distancing, and it felt a bit eerie and weird watching it in such a cavern of an empty stadium when there was nobody there. But I guess it showed a determination that the AFL want this season to actually take place, that they were willing to look even at that very early stage at behind closed doors and social distancing as well.
Yeah, social distancing had started to come in Australia, and just for the safety of players, and obviously if one player contracts the virus, it will potentially shut down a whole team and then the opposition and everything. So there was a lot of different things and procedures that were put in the last few weeks that I was in Australia as well. Like even when we went to the club, we literally went to train and that was it. We'd separate water bottles. You couldn't handshake. We couldn't bring our own food or anything into the club, and we couldn't use any of the common areas. Like we have like a cafe and things like that, so we had to use our own entrance and the boys use theirs, so there'd be no cross contamination. And then also like a lot of the admin staff and things were asked to work from home. So yeah, they did really put in the early kind of constraints on everything to try make sure that the season would go ahead. But unfortunately, with how things have gone all over the world, that they did have to put a stop to it, just for the safety of everyone.
It throws up an obvious question. I know you didn't have to play in the social distancing connection or situation because it didn't come round to playoffs for you. But how would you feel if, Tip get back out at some stage later this year? There's an All Ireland Ladies Football Championship, and you're told that you're going to play with those social distancing rules in places, and it will be behind closed doors. Would you feel comfortable and safe playing in those conditions?
It is a tough one. I guess like I'd give anything to play a Gaelic football match at this stage. I haven't played since last September when we were with TIP and the Intermediate All Ireland. So in that sense, like you want to be a bit selfish as a sports person and obviously want to be able to play competitively, but you have to look at all the barriers that are there at the minute. And I guess not in front of a crowd. Potentially I would be happy enough. I know some players mightn't be, and obviously spectators and people that want to go to matches mightn't be happy with that either. But at the same time, I don't see how, if we have to socially distance, how I can obviously socially distance with my marker on the field. And as well, I'm due to start a job in a hospital, so like I'm sure there's a lot of teams that have frontline workers as well, and you know they'll be potentially exposed to the virus over the next few months, and how would they then come into that team environment and train and play? So I think there's just a lot of questions that I suppose are unanswered and unknown at the moment. But I hope that we do have football at some stage this year. And I suppose I was a little bit probably disappointed as well when it got announced there wouldn't be intercounty until at least October. But at the same time, you can understand it as well, and a lot of people live with people that could be vulnerable as well. So I'm not sure really, but I would love to play, but again, taking into consideration all the safety things as well.
Yeah, because I'd imagine, look, it must be a frustration for Tipperary players, because even just looking at your avatar when we were getting ready to make this call is you in Croke Park after the win last year, and you've won a couple of All Ireland intermediates over the last few years. You're getting ready to go back up to senior level for intercounty this summer as well. You were looking at what was going to be a pretty exciting summer to get back up to that top level again.
Yeah, and like the girls have shown over the last two seasons, unfortunately I haven't got the opportunity to play up in Division One, but they've really held their own up there, and especially like watching on this year when they opened up the league against Dublin, and they put in a brilliant performance right across the field to come away with a draw. So I think we show definitely in little segments anyway our potential, and I think just this summer we are really going to try to put that all together and Especially I had marked off in the diary that we were going to be playing Cork in a Munster semi-final, and that was going to be a big one. And they're one of the kingpins of ladies football, and that's who you want to be kind of playing against and seeing where you're at. So yeah, it is disappointing. Obviously as well, just training by yourself and everything, it's tough to know time frame wise when we can potentially get back together and everything. So it's kind of just about trying to be a little bit consistent every day and just doing little bits and not trying to think too far ahead of when we actually will get back playing and things like that. So yeah, it's tough, and I was very excited about what potentially could have been this summer, but hopefully maybe at some stage we'll be able to show our potential and get back on the pitch.
When you're in Australia for those kind of early parts of the year and you know you're missing the league, do you kind of constantly stay glued to the phone and Twitter for updates on how the girls are getting on a Sunday afternoon, or are you able to detach yourself from that?
No, I find early on in Australia, you go at it first. You're obviously totally immersed in AFLW and you're in pre-season and you're really busy. And Gaelic football does take a little kind of break to the back of your mind in a way. But I do find it tough, especially that league match. I actually stayed up because it was on Facebook Live. I stayed up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning watching it, and I couldn't put the phone down because I was like, oh, we're going to win. And then we had to get a point to draw, and thankfully, Aisling popped it over in the end. But I do mentally find that tough as well. I suppose you're kind of not part of that anymore for that amount of time. But it's great to see the girls do well. But at the same time, you can kind of see them getting on with things without you and things like that. But no, it's great, I suppose, the exposure that ladies football is having at the moment as well, and that the ability of me and the girls in Australia that we can keep an eye on our teams, like through social media and things like that. So, yeah, I'd be fairly glued. Obviously, if it's the night before a match now, I'd wouldn't be staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning. But thankfully, they've been kind of Sunday evenings and stuff like that. So, yeah, I've been kind of keeping an eye on them throughout the league anyway.
You were one, I guess, of the groundbreakers going out there for the 2019 season to play in the AFL. What I noticed is that there was a massive jump in players that were recruited for the 2020 season just gone by. You've mentioned you were living in a house full of Irish girls who were playing in the women's AFL as well. It's perhaps no great surprise, given the way the season falls, given that there's an income and a chance to actually go out to Australia and live the life there for a year or two as well, that it has proved as attractive as it has to players here in Ireland to go across.
Yeah, I suppose it started off with Cora Staunton the first year, and she was probably the real groundbreaker in how well she did, and it probably opened up a alleyway for other ladies footballers, because they could see the potential of ladies footballers coming across, and obviously how the boys have done as well throughout the AFL league. But yeah, like I got contacted through Crosscoders, and that's how my opportunity came up, and I went out for a trial out there, and I got drafted then in October of that year, and it was all fairly rushed, but it was great. I just hopped on a plane and off I went. But yeah, no, it's nice to be able to I suppose challenge yourself at a new sport, and see where you're at with elite players in a different sport. I guess money wise and everything, like we wouldn't be making a huge amount of money or anything. It's probably more the experience to play a professional sport. The lifestyle out in Australia, like we don't work because of our visa restrictions, so we're constantly just getting ready for training, being able to recover, being able to prepare our food and eat well, and you're just in that mindset of being a professional athlete. Whereas I suppose when you're at home, you're trying to do all those things and you're expected to, and you want to do all those things, but potentially you have a job from 9 to 5 or 9 to 6, you're rushing home, grabbing food, and then heading off to training. So it's just nice to experience that aspect where your sole focus is on football. And then when you come home, I suppose you're back to more of that real life world. But it can be tough as well to have that constant focus on football. I found last year especially, because it was just me and Sarah Rowe in Melbourne, you kind of are constantly in that bubble with your teammates, and it's always football, football, football. Whereas, like, it can be tough as well if training doesn't go well and you go home and you're just with your teammates and they're talking about football again and things like that. But this year, then, I suppose living with a game, different focus, and we kind of had life away from football. If it was heading off to the beach, or we all understood each other. So the mental side of it was a lot easier this year to have that I suppose, perks away from the football field, as well as completely concentrating on football as well. But you could kind of have a mini break from it at times, whereas last year I felt it was very full on at the time.
Melbourne's a magnificent city as well. You grew up in South Tipperary. You're a bit away from the beach. You're a bit away from the bright lights like Melbourne as well. It's a fantastic opportunity to get to live there for a couple of years as well.
Yeah, and definitely, and throughout like my year, I've never, or last few years playing football, like I've never went on a J1 or anything, or went traveling, and you miss even out miss out on family holidays as well, like heading off to Spain. So when this opportunity came up to mix both my love for sport and a bit of traveling, like it's an opportunity that that's probably one of the reasons why I took it as well. And I got to experience life in a different country, like different climate. It was brilliant, and my mum was actually born in Melbourne, so I have an uncle living out there, and it was great to see them as well, because it was probably 10 years before that that they came over to Ireland that I'd seen them. So it's things like that that make the experience great. And then obviously you play interstate games, so I got to go to Perth this year. We played West Coast, and I stayed a couple of days extra, and I met like the Kellys from Mayo as well, and they showed us around their neck of the woods and everything. So it is a really nice opportunity to see other parts of the world, as well as keeping that love for football and being able to be welcomed back into the TIP squad as well, as really nice to be able to kind of wrap everything up and do it all together at once.
Would it have been a more difficult decision if, say, you got the call to go to the trial in Melbourne in 2018 and you knew their season was overlapping with Championship? Would it have been more difficult if you had to say, right, I have to take a full year out with Tipperary, as opposed to knowing you can actually come back and play that summer?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a massive thing in the decision that a lot of the girls make. And I know, like, when people are talking to during different interviews and everything, and Sarah's mentioned it a few times, that like your heart is with Gaelic football, and that's what I've done when I was growing up. And I always dreamed about playing in Croke Park, and that feeling in 2017 and 2019, that's what you dream of as a little kid. And I think being able to do that, but also being able to have that professional aspect, is something that's really important. And I do think it'd be a massive decision, and especially if you move to Australia as well for a longer period of time. Because when I say bye to my parents and stuff at the airport, I know I'm heading home in 6 months, and it feels like you're going off on a little bit of a holiday, and you wouldn't really get too homesick or miss them too much. Whereas if it was like the men's and you potentially had to go out for a year or two, it would be a bigger move and a bigger life decision, and just everything would have to be weighed up. But definitely the fact that we can play both at the minute makes that decision a little bit easier.
That transition when you come back to play Gaelic football, then, is it very difficult to get used to kicking a round ball again as opposed to a Sheeran? Because I assume you get to a point where you're used to kicking an oval ball for 6 months. You probably have to do a lot of extra ball work when you get out there to get entirely comfortable. Does it feel strange when you come back to a round ball then when you arrive back in Ireland?
Yeah, I suppose last year when I went to Australia, I completely focused on the round, or the Sheeran. So I kind of put the round ball to the side for a while, and yeah, you get so used to that. And then when I came home, you kind of think you just would pick up where you left off, but you start kicking funny, and you're different movements and different patterns of running and everything. So that was probably something mentally I found really tough as well, because the transition to a new sport when I moved to Australia, your learning curve is so steep. So you're constantly getting a little bit better, and you can see that happening over a period of time. Whereas when you come back to Ireland, you probably have regressed a little bit. So it's really tough, because as well, you kind of have in the back of your head that people might be expecting you to come home like a better footballer, like more conditioned, and being that professional athlete. And that's probably a really tough thing, because our standard of training at home here in Ireland is probably the same standard of training in Australia. So potentially you're still the same athlete coming home and things like that. So that was tough, and like I take good pride in like my kicking and my passing and my shooting accuracy and things, and that was all gone a bit when I started last year. But you know, after a few weeks getting back into it, and then we had a couple of challenge matches before championship and stuff like that. So definitely ease back into it, and just try not to be too hard on myself. And then come summer, you kind of are back into it again, and you forget that you were so bad a few weeks ago, I guess.
That's interesting because I was kind of wondering when you come back, did you notice any difference in terms of your own body or maybe some of the speeds you were clocking or anything like that when you were putting in months of professional training as opposed to what you were doing here? Had you noticed much of a difference?
I probably didn't. It was more so probably in Australia I had more time to work on different things. So maybe if I had a bit of a weakness somewhere, like in muscle wise, and I could do like Pilates more often and things like that. And then also I could just take care of my body a bit more because I had that bit more of time. So it was probably those skills that I was able to bring back home with me. And also just like more the mindset side of things as well. Like you can work with psychologists and stuff like that. So it was probably like little aspects that I could bring home, but physically there probably wasn't too much of a difference. We definitely train the same, if not harder here in Gaelic football. You're probably put through your paces a bit more, whereas they kind of manage your load a lot more over in Australia, so you probably wouldn't actually be doing as much. So it did take a little bit of time to get back into, and also the running and everything's different, a little bit different in AFL. There's a lot more kind of stop starts and stuff, whereas in Gaelic football, it's constantly running up and down, especially when I was getting back into that midfield, tracking back and then trying to like launch an attack and stuff like that. So yeah, it was all very different, but it was probably just little things that nuggets of information that I brought back rather than coming back completely transformed as an athlete.
It's interesting on the running side of things as well, because we get the clips kind of from the women's AFL account, and the Irish AFL account will put up videos of goals that have been scored by Irish players on a given weekend. And something that seems to have been kind of a big advantage for Irish players, and maybe just an element of surprise compared to their Australian counterparts, is that maybe from ladies Gaelic football, there's a lot of direct running and playing a 1-2 and maybe continuing on, as opposed to the stop-start nature of trying to get a mark that some of the Australian players were trying to do. It seems that probably confused some of your opposition when some of the Irish players got out there, that an Irish player seems happy enough to take contact and try to just run through as opposed to offload.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose it obviously depends what team you're playing with. Everyone has a different kind of game style in their teams in Australia. But yeah, a big thing would be potentially to keep possession in Australia would be chip kicking it around and marking it. But obviously there's a room for error there. Like if you don't mark it or it goes skewways or anything like that. So yeah, especially like when Katie Hearn from Donegal is on my team this year, you could really see her runs from the half back line, and Sinead Godric was the same with Melbourne, and they just run and give and go, and it definitely was an element of surprise. But I think the game is trying to transition into that level. A lot of the boys kind of play in that kind of a style, so it's taken away that kind of kick and chipping around, which is a bit slower. So yeah, I think it's unpredictable for some Australians. Like obviously if you're up against an opponent and you kind of give and go, or you run, they think that you're going to mark it and things like that. But I do think the game is definitely developing into that, and it's trying to get faster. And I suppose with the infiltration of Irish girls, it will kind of more go towards that way, if Irish girls are in different teams as well.
Do you bring any habits back with you? Because Sarah Rowe was saying one of the things she had to nearly talk herself mentally out of at different points was that she gets back onto a Gaelic field, almost anticipating contact and expecting to be tackled down to the ground, as opposed to in ladies' football, they're going to try and play the ball as opposed to try and grab you and bring you to the ground. She said she found it very difficult, took 5 or 6 weeks of training to actually get that out of her head. Is there any habits from women's AFL that you bring back into the ladies' football game in those kind of early periods of retransitioning?
Yeah, definitely. That's a big one. I suppose when you go out at first, trying to get used to that spatial awareness in Australia and trying to be aware that there could be someone coming from any angle at you. So I think that's kind of develops over time, that you're kind of always watching out nearly on with eyes in the back of your head to see if there's someone gonna kind of tackle you or anything. And you do get rid of the ball quite quickly as well. Like just kind of dishing it off to someone in space or getting the kick forward for territory more so than getting it to a specific player. So yeah, I did find at first that you come back and you probably would play the ball around a bit too quickly. But at the same time, in my first two championship matches, I know we played Limerick in the Munster Championship, and all I tried to do was the simple things right to kind of get back into it nice and slowly. So wasn't trying to do too much that day, kind of getting the ball and passing it off and and things like that, and just getting my awareness up for Gaelic football again. But yeah, it does take a little bit of time to get back into you and not think that there's going to be about three players trying to tackle you from behind and things. It is a little bit funny at first, but you get used to the Gaelic kind of style again.
Have you noticed getting any extra attention from players when you come back? Because I assume once you play women's AFL, people are probably that bit more aware. Have you noticed any extra attention from opponents when you come back?
Not too bad, no. I suppose early on in my career, I probably would have predominantly played more centre forward role with tip. So I think you might kind of get the odd defender that would stick to you for the day. But recently, last couple of years, I've been playing a midfield role. So I suppose you have a little bit more space out in midfield, and you can kind of do your own thing. And in a few games now, I would have had a couple of people. You kind of notice that they're following you around for the day, but no, nothing major. And I guess like we have dangerous forwards as well, so that's kind of a good thing as well. They kind of the defenders will be trying to lock down a couple of our forwards, so it would give you a bit more space out around the middle of the field. So I kind of enjoyed that aspect of having a bit more freedom out there. But I also like playing the forwards too. So yeah, just going forward, obviously everything's up in the air, but I don't know where I'd be playing this year. So potentially you could get more attention, but it obviously probably depends positional wise as well.
It must, I'd imagine, help an awful lot to have Aisling Maloney on your team because she's double covered so often. That has to open up spaces. If they're so concerned about the ball coming into her, that gives you a chance if you're coming from deep to maybe have a little bit of extra space.
Yeah, definitely. Like Aisling's a phenomenal player, and obviously having her in the forwards, it takes the eyes of the defenders towards her, and oftentimes you can obviously go yourself then. And then yeah, when she's playing inside in the forward line, the defense probably rushes more towards them, and it gives you more space out around the middle of the field, and it brings other players into the game as well. So yeah, it's great. And obviously she's had a phenomenal year this year as well during the league. And our backs as well, I think we're absolutely brilliant at bringing the ball up. And Aisling would say herself that it takes a whole team to get the ball up to her, and she finishes it off. But thankfully, she's a good right legginner, so she pops them over the bar fairly easily.
Yeah, probably a weapon if we do get games going back on again. You mentioned about training. It is extremely difficult when you've no idea what the date is going to be for either club or for intercounty. It could well be late July when you're back training. It could well be a case if they tell you can't go back till September or October to do any kind of collective stuff. Is that one of the difficult things as an athlete, the not knowing at the moment when you actually have to step things up and be in peak condition?
Yeah, definitely. I guess it's difficult for everyone, like our strength and conditioning coach with Tiff, as well as like all the players as well. And you want to peak at the right time, and you want to be in the best condition as possible when the games do start. But yeah, it's probably more so maintaining fitness at the moment and working on things that you mightn't get to time to do while you're training collectively as a group. So I guess just trying to tick off things every day and just being consistent and not thinking too far ahead. And obviously if a running session or something goes badly, or you didn't hit the times, or you just weren't motivated that day, like not to be too hard on yourself. Like it's a box ticked and you do have something in the bank, so then the next day you just do a little bit better. But yeah, motivation kind of goes up and down, and that's natural. And I suppose realizing that that's a natural thing as well is important. And to be fair to Tip, a couple of weeks ago, we had a time trial to do, and then they gave us a break from them, actually, us being accountable to them, I guess. It's just important because obviously we didn't know when we'd be back together, and a lot of our squad are quite young, so they're actually doing the leave insert as well, which is obviously up in the air as well. And then there's college exams and everything, so we can do training if we like, but there's going to be no pressure on anyone if they need to take a week or two off over the next little while. So I think that was a really good move by them as well, just to not be putting pressure on people to be doing things if they can't at the moment. And then hopefully we get like a good bit of I suppose time to prepare to get back training. So at least if we find out more in the coming weeks of what will happen, that we can start upping it again and things like that. But most girls are kind of tipping away doing their own thing, and hopefully then we'll kind of get back together soon.
Yeah, I guess the nature of being an athlete as well, you kind of stay accountable to yourself anyway. I would imagine you wouldn't feel particularly comfortable kind of letting things slump for a while, you're probably going to keep your own general fitness ticking over one way or another.
Yeah, obviously, as an athlete, you want to get the best out of yourself. And hopefully the games do get back. You don't want to be on the back foot. You don't want to let things slip over the next few months. So, I think, yeah, just a break from being accountable to Tip is probably more a mental thing. But I know that most of the girls are just being accountable to themselves. And we do have a Strava. We're having an account in Strava, like the app for running. So you can kind of see what girls are doing. And like if they went out and did their running yesterday, I'm going to be like, okay, I can't not do my running today. So it does kind of keep you accountable in a way. But obviously, there's no pressure to do anything. And as well, you kind of want to be getting that edge during this time and using it as best you can as well. But yeah, it's tough. But yeah, you do want to get the best out of yourself. And I think that's why people are keep ticking things off every day at the moment.
How are you as an individual trainer? Because some of the players I've been speaking to say they hate running on their own. They hate long running sessions, particularly. They love going in collectively with the group. Playing matches, doing drills or training suits them much better than having to do individual gym or running sessions. How are you as an individual training then?
Yeah, I'd probably be the same. Like I love training collectively. Obviously the track and everything you have with the girls, but when it comes to doing the hard work as well, it's easier to have people beside you to push you and as well not having to do all your running by sprints and runs that you can potentially integrate into like match play and stuff. It's always easier to run with a football. So yeah, it is tough like that. But I'd say just getting on with it because everyone's in the same situation. So listening to just music, podcasts, anything you can just to get through the runs. And I kind of try to do different sessions, like three different sessions a week. So kind of one longer run and then sprints and speed work as well. And the gym, then you have to be inventive. I don't have too much equipment, so I have dumbbells and stuff, but using like school bags on your back and everything just to add in a bit of weight. But you can get through it with body weight stuff as well. But yeah, the collective side of things definitely is a lot easier than I don't think I'd make an individual athlete now or anything out of myself after this.
Not to put you on the spot, but what's on your music playlist then if you're having to listen to things while you're training?
I just literally go on Spotify, click the charts, and off I go. Nothing too hectic, but listen to a few podcasts. Then I listen to James Smith. He's like a PT at the moment, so I just find it easier to probably listen to someone as well. My time go quicker than counting how many songs have gone by. So yeah, just anything really to keep my mind occupied while the legs are going.
You mentioned you're heading into work, you're going to be working in the hospital very soon as well. What's your feeling about that? I mean, obviously, it's a difficult time to be starting given the COVID situation and given just personal safety and so on. How are you feeling about going back working in the hospital then?
Yeah, so when I came home from Australia, the usual job that I worked the past 2 summers is in a private practice here in Cairns. But unfortunately, due to the regulations, she's had to close up for the last few weeks. So she kind of guided me towards the HSE on-call initiative. So I signed up for that, and then we got funneled into a separate physio panel. And recently, then I got offered a job in Port Leash. So I haven't got a start date yet, but it's been keeping me busy. Like I'm studying and doing kind of online stuff as well, making sure that I'm confident going into the job. But obviously, you're hearing things as well, like about the protective equipment and all that, and making sure there's enough supply for everyone and things. But yeah, look, I think that every hospital has their own local policy in place to keep their staff safe, and that's really important. And hopefully there's not too many ill people in the hospital as well, but they kind of minimize the people that get exposed to people with the virus at the moment. So potentially I mightn't even come up against anyone with coronavirus. So I'm just trying to keep on top of what I can at the moment study wise, and just making sure that when I go in I can do the best job as possible. And obviously the first couple of weeks or so will be a bit of an induction and getting used to how things are run as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, to be honest. I've been out of work as a physio for a little while now, so getting back into that, and it'll be a new challenge. And obviously at this time as well, there's a lot of other factors that you have to consider. But I think with everything that's been put in place, the policies and everything, that they do make it as a safe environment as it can be to work. So I'm looking forward to it, to be honest, to get out of the house as well and have a bit of a routine going forward.
In terms of your downtime, you're kind of, it's almost like Glenroe about to play on a Sunday. You're into those last few weeks before you're back into work again. What have you been doing to keep yourself occupied in the downtime aside from training then? Is there Netflix going on in the house, or what have you been doing to keep yourself sane over the last while?
Yeah, definitely Netflix has taken a big hit anyway. So at the moment I'm watching the Michael Jordan documentary, which is very good. Like, just it's insane the things he was able to do. And then Normal People as well, that new show that people have been chatting about the past couple of weeks. So that they're kind of the two big ones that I've been watching at the moment. And then I'm just trying to do new things as well. I've started to do yoga. I suppose that's something that I didn't really do before, and I really enjoy it. Just kind of tip away at it every day if I can, but not putting too much pressure on myself to do that. And then obviously study as well for going heading into the new job and just making sure that I'm confident for that. And then keeping up in contact with your friends, which obviously takes a few hours as well. Like if you do any Zoom calls or anything, we've done a couple with Tip, like a quiz night and things like that. So they're always good fun and they take up a little bit of time as well. And it's good to just stay connected at this time.
It's funny, everyone seems to be drawn to Jordan and that Chicago Bulls team. I think everyone I've spoken to over the last couple of weeks are saying, I'm watching The Last Dance. I love Jordan. And people seem really interested in Dennis Rodman as well. Is that part of what the interest is? It's just kind of seeing a great team and eventually seeing them fall apart by the end of this series, not to give spoilers away. But is that part of the attraction, watching kind of great athletes and a great team at the one time?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I would have obviously heard of Michael Jordan, but a lot of like the documentary I'm watching is during years where I wasn't even born or I was quite small. So I probably wouldn't have been exposed to actually how great he was. And to see even just clips of his highlights, it's insane. And I think his mindset to be the best version of himself and even the swagger of him going onto the court knowing that he is the best and that no one else is going to beat him in that regard. It kind of is refreshing to see that that's what people are like to be the best. I suppose you have to have that confidence and stuff. But yeah, I'm just enjoying it in that sense. And then obviously more kind of lighthearted stuff then I watch as well on Netflix to keep my mind away from sport as well.
Have you given much consideration about potentially going back to Oz next year, or is it too early for me to be asking you about that?
It's probably a little bit too early, but obviously you have to weigh things up. Originally the trade and sign period should have been around now. So I think this time last year I would have re-signed for Bulldogs already, but because of everything that's happened, they've pushed it out until after the 31st of May. And potentially they don't know if that will actually be confirmed yet either, just because of the situation at the moment and it's constantly changing. But yeah, so I've had no real conversations about next year. I suppose in a way I'll just have to weigh up everything. And obviously if GAA games start in October, that puts a bit of a spanner in the works if that's when championship is going to be. So it could be a bit more of a difficult decision than I thought, obviously, to weigh everything up. But look, at the moment you can, well, you could play both. And as I spoke about already, it was really important that I am able to play for Tipperary. So I obviously have to take into consideration all those things when I do decide, but at the moment it's an opportunity where you can split yourself and have the best of both worlds. So I potentially am thinking about it. I'm not weighing it out at all, but those conversations haven't really been had yet.
You must be pretty happy though with how the two seasons have gone, because first year obviously the highlight numbers are the 5 goals in 6 games. But just looking at your stats from the season just gone by, okay, your team didn't have the best campaign, but you were getting on the ball a lot more. You were disposing the ball. You were getting assists. It seems like your game actually improved coming off the back of kind of a hot end to the first season, and then bringing that form into season two. So you must have been fairly happy with how you were playing on an individual level at least.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, as an athlete, you want to play the best you can for your team. Disappointing that we didn't do too well this year. At the start of the year, we kind of set our goals fairly high and we didn't reach them, which is obviously disappointing. But I was pretty happy with how I progressed from last season. I guess I played predominantly in the forward line last year, so hence why it probably was my job to get those 5 goals at the time. This year then I went more into a central role, so I think it allowed me to play to my strengths a bit more through the midfield, and I was in those contests a lot more and scrapping for the ball. And I probably had the mindset of just like see ball, get ball, and just hunting it down. And if I didn't win it, I was making it really difficult for the opposition to try dispose of it and play it as well as they could. So it really became a simple game for me, and it really allowed me to be competitive and show that edge that I have. So I really enjoyed it. And I suppose as well, being in the midfield, you don't have to wait for anyone else to win the ball to get it to you, which is often it's a waiting game up in the forwards and AFLW especially. You have to wait for your midfield to win it and get it into you. Whereas this year I had that responsibility myself of just winning football and holding my own against my opponents. So I really enjoyed that. And it's probably where I played my best football this year. So hopefully if I do go back, that's where I'd be liking to continue to play.
You almost anticipate my next question, which is for Tipperary, then you'd probably prefer to be midfield as opposed to half forwards if we do get football this season. I'm guessing if you've got a taste of being slightly further out and more involved, that's where you'd like to play ladies football as well.
Yeah, I suppose I like tracking back isn't my forte now. That's probably the worst side of football. Everyone would say that. But I like, I suppose, being more of a playmaker and getting the ball from the half back line and kind of getting it up into the forwards and like opening it up for the forwards and giving them options and bringing people into the game. And that's probably what I do enjoy. But I also do enjoy playing centre forward. I suppose it's a bit more of a freer role. You can come back a bit and you can come out into the midfield as well. And then obviously I do also play in the inside line, but that's obviously more waiting for the ball to come in and depending on people outside the pitch. So yeah, I do like winning the football myself, but I suppose wherever is best for the team, that's where I'll play. And, you know, going in this year, there's a couple of options of where people can play, but I know we have a few injuries as well. Anna Rose Kennedy plays midfield and Sarah Friday as well, who came in this year from the Camogie panel. So they both did their ACLs. So that probably puts a few positions up for grabs as well with them being out this year. But, you know, it's good for them too that they're having a bit of a break from that we don't have a championship at the moment because they're not missing out on too much as well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where I play for Tip. But hopefully, you know, I just play wherever. If I am good enough to make the starting team and then wherever they think that I'd benefit the team, I suppose is best.
And I suppose for Tipperary, the aspiration has to be to not slip back to intermediate level. You want to try and stay at senior now. You've kind of brought yourselves up the divisions in the league over the last few years, which has shown that you're at that level of being in the top 8-10 teams in the country. You want to ensure, even with this new look championship that you have at the moment over the last couple of years, that you want to be in the senior grade. You don't have to go back and win a third intermediate in short succession here.
Yeah, like I suppose when we won the intermediate in 2017, the thing about that was it was brilliant. We'd won our All-Ireland and our dream was to win the intermediate All-Ireland. But there was something a little bit different about last year when we won the All-Ireland 2019. It was kind of our goal was to be a senior team, and it wasn't that we really wanted to win that All-Ireland. And it is special. It's still obviously Sam going up the steps to the Hogan Stand and lifting that intermediate cup obviously is a very special moment. But there was a bit more of our goal was that we needed to down a spot in senior, and that was more the goal of what last year was. And we don't want to be that yo-yo team that goes back down and comes back. We want to solidify our place as a senior team and hopefully be a force to be reckoned with over the coming years. We're quite young, so I think that potentially going forward that we could be up in senior for a few years contesting against the best teams, and that's where we want to be. And we're quite an ambitious group. So yeah, definitely staying up senior is a major goal this year. We don't want to go back down intermediate, and that's no disrespect for any teams that are down there. We've had great years playing intermediate football, but we just want to keep on an upward curve. And I think it is a bit of a setback when you do have to go back down a level when all we want to do is keep striving forward.
My final question is entirely away from football or women's AFL or anything like that. You've had the few weeks now where you've had, I guess, hours to fill, kind of working the days out and so on. What tip can you give to anyone who is at home at the moment, maybe totally different situation to normal because they're working from home, or maybe they've been unfortunate enough to be away from work at the moment? How do you kind of keep your day structured and keep boredom away? Do you have any kind of tips you can give to anybody?
I wouldn't have been big into it before, but I have a journal, so I write down things the day before that I want to do the next day, and I try to have them ticked off at the end of the day. But I think a really important thing at the moment is, I think on social media at the start, it was like as if everyone should bake, everyone should start a new hobby, and like that can put pressure on people as well. So I think it's important to know that you don't have to conform to all these, I suppose, what's seen as normal during lockdown. And like if you have to work from home and you do that and that's what you've ticked off that day, that's perfectly fine. You don't have to do all this added extras that some people are doing at the moment. But if there is something that you potentially didn't have time for before that you enjoy, this is definitely a time that you could pick it up. But obviously if you're kind of adding more things to your schedule and it's going to stress you out, then don't bother, just stick to what you have. But having a schedule and trying to have time to yourself, doing something you enjoy as well, is definitely something that helps me anyway at the moment.
Well, Leash footballer Cara Healy, I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago. He said the thing he's doing is he's learning Italian because his partner's Italian. He said he never really had the time to do it before now because he's always racing to work and racing to training. He's got the language translation tapes now at the moment. He's listening to them on his phone, and that's his way of doing things. He says if he does nothing else over this lockdown, he's going to improve his Italian. So I think that's probably a good idea. Asing, it's been fantastic to chat to you this afternoon. The best of luck with a decision if you have to make it in terms of the women's AFL in the coming weeks or months when they come back for re-signing. And the best of luck with TIP if the championship gets underway later this year as well.
Thanks a million. Thanks for having me.